Well, greetings, everybody. This is your host for the moment, Abby Goldsmith, and welcome to episode 8.13 of the Story for Nerd. Oh man, the typos.
What?
Okay.
What?
Yes, there's typos.
Look at this before we started. Come on,
man. Okay. Let me restart this.
I always copy paste and correct.
I don't do that.
Nothing personal, Raph, but I do that every time.
Dang it! I always forget to. And I felt so proud of myself just because of the fact that I gave it to her like the day before.
Plenty
like,
early.
I do. Okay, look, I figure I'll edit as I go.
That was very nice. I usually don't get into like a couple hours before the show.
Yeah, you're Eric. Part-timer. Minion, speaking of which.
Necro-minion, not even a full minion. You're mini-minion.
Welcome to the Stories for Nerds podcast. And now, with another epic episode, here are your hosts for SFN.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your co-host, Abby Goldsmith, and welcome to episode 8.13 of the Stories for Nerds podcast, with the show featuring a group of sci-fi and fantasy authors who not only love to discuss the latest adventures in books, TV, film, video games, anime, and all other forms of nerdy entertainment, but they also read and collaborate on stories as well. And I have the pleasure of being here with Scott Parkin.
Howdy.
Eric Johnson.
Yo-ho.
And Raphael M. Jordan.
Okay, I see what I did there. So I copied your old intros, the one that's not edited. And so that's why you keep getting the crappy version, because like I've cleaned up everyone else's besides.
Ah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to do better, Miss Goldsmith. I promise.
So that's one of my elements of squirrelness is I see the text and I've got to, I make it big so that I can read it without having to glance over. I edit it to make sure that it has my personality in it.
And I'm just too lazy to do any of that. I need a virtual assistant to do it for me.
Squirrel.
Abby, you ain't got time for that. I mean, you.
Right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you should have an assistant to read the intro on your behalf.
you should hire an assistant to hire some assistants for you.
Yeah, all of that.
I agree.
But thanks for the intro, Abby, and welcome to the SFN podcast. And we are going to be doing a Nerdy Chat episode this time. But of course, we always like to do updates with the authors on the panel, see what they've been up to on the writing front. Thanks, it's our last meetup. So, starting with our superstar, Miss Goldsmith, how have you been doing on the writing front?
Writing? I missed that.
Writing, I've heard of that.
Many moons ago.
No, I actually have been managing to squeak in an hour here and there to write, which is really wonderful.
Nice.
Yes, I'm squeaking it in. I expect that time is going to go away in August and September, but for now, I'm able to survive. I'm like 9 chapters into my new web serial. I did have to do some rewriting on 4 chapters there because. So it's a lot of foundational stuff. Like, I think anyone who's written a big epic series or a web serial can relate to this, but it's like, you have such a huge story and you've got to do a lot of setup in the first 10 chapters or so. And the stuff you do will lay the foundation for 500 chapters. So, you know, if it's a weak foundation, you're going to have trouble down the road. In this one, it's like, I had this whole plan where I was like, all right, his family's going to get murdered in front of him, and then he's going to be traumatized, and it's going to be awesome, right? But then, like, it sounds great, right?
Sounds like such a sociopath.
It sounds like a great idea.
That's great.
Right
in front of him, yeah!
Right, like, anybody can like, root for that character, right? So, but here's the thing. Like, it turned out that murdering his younger sisters wasn't really going to work too well in the story. Because it's actually pretty hard to do that, and, like, you know, keep like people like feeling good about a story right in the beginning, basically. So
murder the parents, but not the
children. Right, exactly. Really? Exactly. So I got the parents beheaded and that was fine. but the children was a problem. That was a problem. So
this is why Abby hasn't contracted I though, because I haven't beheaded anyone in my fiction in recent decades. So.
What's the problem?
But here's the problem. There is a problem. Okay, if I don't murder the sisters, then he's got like four little sisters to take care of for the whole rest of the 500 chapter web serial, which nobody wants that. You do not want little sisters running around tagging after your main character, right? I mean, that's
no,
awful.
But you do want at least one little sister to be turned to the dark side and become a nemesis. You must have.
I was going to say, what if the sisters got taken? That's part of his
journey. Yes. One is taken against her will. One is taken and converted. One is murdered ugly in a public place.
And the other one there's ways you can clean up or narrow down the numbers.
Because that's going to be his conflict, right? Is, I love her, but she's the bad one. But I love her, but she's,
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
You can stretch that for 40 episodes. I mean, dude. Uh-huh.
You're right. I think you're right about that. There's got to be one. Mm-hmm.
At least one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There could be the pitiful one, but there also has to be the scary one.
Yeah, I think I already know which one to turn evil. Yeah, no, that's great. Anyway, but yeah, like that's the kind of thing I was agonizing over. I was like, you know, I wrote this chapter where the sisters were getting murdered, and I was like, oh, that really doesn't go over well. And then I was like, all right, I rewrote it with them all being saved, and I was like, oh, what wouldn't he just go and, you know, do anything he can to protect them, and that just ruins the whole story, you know? So I was like, all right, so let me try this, let me try that. Anyway, so I finally got it so that the sisters can't save him, he can't save them, but they are surviving, but they're not tagging along. So, whew.
Yeah, right, because you have one go missing, one be...
What can be...
Hostage,
kidnapped.
One who has just as dark and violent a reaction to things as he does, but with a different expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and he's forced to realize, no, they're not adorable morons, they're people.
One of the many instances or one of the lacking qualities a lot of people forget when writing children.
Not kidding, right? They try to make them adorable morons, and I'm sorry, that's not an interesting character. Just isn't.
No, not at all. Oh, you know what? Hold that thought, gang. I just noticed that's weird.
We haven't been recording.
No, we have been recording, but I only got 16 minutes left.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's been an hour already.
No, I don't know why our time didn't accrue. It's
been a maximum of 20 minutes. And
it's only been 17 minutes.
Well, I'm still recording on my end, but if you need to restart, you know.
Oh, no, we don't need to restart. I just need everyone, to start recording their own stuff.
Starting while recording now.
All right, let me go.
What? That is so trippy, though. Oh well. Okay, so, I mean, we'll just, we'll keep on this segment until the 15 minutes comes up, and then I'll just chip away afterwards. Huh. Oh, weird. But yeah, so that's one of the... I always go back to freaking Lost in Space, but like Will Robinson, I think that's like the perfect example of like just making a child an adorable buffoon when he has kids. I mean, they're children. Just because they're children doesn't mean they're idiots.
Well, and the problem with Will... sorry, I've got the echo in my ear now, so I'm freaking for a second.
Oh, sorry.
The problem with Will Robinson was always that he was supposed to be this ultra smart kid, mm-hmm. but then he would be an adorable dork often enough that it undercut his niftiness, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to get saved by the robot or Dr. Smith. It's just like, oh, please. And then you had the sister who existed mainly to serve meals.
Was it Penny or
yes.
Okay. I can't remember that. Like, I know there's two of them. I always get the twos in
the very stuff. 50s. Yeah.
Yeah, I never watched it or saw it. even the remakes. Yeah,
wasn't the other one mainly just supposed to be there to be like, you know, the cute one that always gets in trouble and they have to say
type thing? Right. Well, I mean, they didn't necessarily always get in trouble, but
the one to carry the stupid monkey.
Yeah.
Bloop.
I can't remember the name. But anyway. But yes, that whatever the case, Abby, you definitely got some options with how you can torture your protagonist with the remaining survivors of his family. So have fun.
Putting children through pain.
Yeah, I'm gonna delete that part.
It's not supposed to be it's not supposed to be like a story about saving children or helping children or something. I mean, that's not the point of the story.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Anyway.
No, but seriously, that's a usage. A lot of people put the child in only in order to be saved, mm-hmm. or they put the girlfriend in only in order to be assaulted and then avenged. Right. And I think that's
Is there a reason why he has so many siblings?
Well, I was gonna do it because, I mean, you know, I wanted to make the murder of his family be a really traumatic, horrific thing for him.
Right. Big happy family. And then
yeah. Oh, and also his father and his brother are abusive towards him. So I wanted it to be more than... It's pretty involved. I mean, I wanted it to like have a lot of like mixed feelings about the various members of his family being killed. And I wanted it to be more than just, oh, thank God they're gone. Like,
I'm sorry you're dead, Mom. Bye-bye, Dad.
Right. Exactly.
Big brother.
Yeah, he's happy he's gone. But
let me stomp your grave for a moment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, I think I can make it work with the sisters being alive, but they're going to have to not be a big part of the story, so that's the whole thing, is keeping them off screen.
By whatever means, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, and then what about you, Mr. Parkin? What have you up to on the writing front?
So I've been engaging in avoidance behaviors because I know I need to rewrite that novel, and scares me. So I have started writing a short story instead in an effort to practice things that I want to do in the novel. You go. I'm about 9 pages into a new short story. So.
Okay. What genre is this one? Oh, sci-fi?
Yeah.
So sometimes, I mean, honestly, you need to kind of get it out of your own head when you get to a stuff with certain stories. And yeah, especially when you realize that you got to do a major overhaul on some of them. It's just like,
Well, it is, right? I'm doing a generation ship partway into a 9-generation journey with a character who is similar in many ways to the character in the Dragon novel. Mm-hmm. A little bit older, a little bit more aggressive, and that's part of what I'm practicing, is having the female protagonist be not a milquetoast.
Cool. All right. Well, how big is your short story going to be?
Don't know. If I want to sell it, I need to shoot for 6,000 words. If I want to just write what I want to write, then it'll probably go to 12 or 13.
Okay. So are you considering,
right now I'm just writing. I'll worry about refining it for market later.
There you go. Very cool. Okay. And in my case, I'm still chucking away bit by bit with my sci-fi standalone series. Got past the climax of it, so things are starting to get really intense and nitty gritty. And of course, this is where my writing actually starts to get faster, because I'm like, oh, fun, wee! Everything is bad. Everyone is suffering. I love this. Oh my God. Everyone's gonna think, the time this episode is over, it's like, oh my God, authors are sociopaths.
Yes, and
yeah, I was about to say,
this is a surprise to anyone, really. Please,
I'm really enjoying like this part of the story and seeing where a lot of my characters' biases are really started to get challenged because in his situation, he had, I don't want to give too much away, but he had a similar situation happen to him that Abby's character dealt with from these foreigners. And so because of that, he has a really, really strong disliking to them. But now he's in a situation where he has no choice but to work with them. And there's been a lot of bumping of heads because of that, because they know what they did, and they have no shame in it. They have no grievances about it. They're just like, hey, war is hell. It is what it is. I mean, had the roles been reversed, who's to say you wouldn't have done the same thing either? So just because of that mentality, he's like, it's just really, really hard for him to like really empathize with these people. But then just more and more situations arise, and he's like, oh, you know what? I have this really, it's almost at this point, it was like he's holding on to this perspective of these people just because he's had these misgivings about them for so long. That's all that he knows. Like it's become like a part of him now. So he can't imagine giving it up, because like if he gives that up, I mean, what else is there? So, but yeah, so that's doing a big dive on like character development and character growth. So that's really, really fun seeing exactly like how the interactions and the engagement and just the tone is just gradually starting to shift throughout the story and the character arc. So yeah, it's fun doing a character driven story. But how about we get into some nerdy news, where we offer some sci-fi and fantasy book recommendations along with updates in their culture. Okay, so we got a sci-fi book recommendation this time, and it is from author Andrew Moriarty. Holy crap, I saw the first name, I didn't see the last name. But this is The Imperial Deserter, Decline and Fall of the Galactic Empire, Book 1. Okay, so if you kill a man and you're a murderer, kill a million and you're a statesman. Dirk should have killed more people. Sounds like reasonable logic, right? But Dirk and Friedel use his aristocratic connections to rescue his troops. Then plan on starting a war, killing them himself. Now he spends his days in jail, waiting for an assassin sent by his dead officers' families to end his misery. When he's broken out by off-duty Marines, he has a chance to start over, if he's worthy. During his ramshackle escape, he collects a broken-down training ship, a bitter former army officer, genetically altered religious fanatic, a runaway ingenue? A sham engineer and a murderer's femme fatale. Cursed by a fanatical imperial tribune bent on bloody justice, can he keep the crew from killing each other, the ship from exploding, and himself from the bomb of a bottle? Or would it be easier just to give up? If you like Galactic Empire's honorable enemies and snappy dialogue, this one's for you. So once again, this is The Imperial Deserter, Book 1 of the Decline and Fall of the Galactic Empire series from Andrew Moriarty, and this is available on Amazon. Okay, and we have some television and film releases coming up. Well, by the time you guys get this episode, these will be out. But in film, we have the latest and final installment of the Indiana Jones franchise, and this is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And I apologize for this detail. I looked everywhere for a synopsis, but everyone was just like, Greg is like, oh, Indiana Jones is Harrison Ford's back, and blah, 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 blah.
Geriatric Harrison Ford.
Jones on the sequel of Doom, right.
Uh-huh. So after years of anticipation, Lucasfilm... yeah, anticipation, right. I'm just going to read. Lucasfilm is bringing another Indiana Jones adventure to the big screen. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny will arrive in theaters on June 30th, 2023, with Harrison Ford reprising his iconic role as our favorite on-screen archaeologist.
Excuse me, it's the adult diaper of Destiny.
Mm.
Well, go on, go on.
I don't know if this says anything. I could have sworn the movie already came out.
Right?
Well, I mean, so for us, technically, it comes out. Even though it premieres on Friday, it comes out.
No. I thought it already was out. I thought it came out, like, last month.
Oh. No. Oh, no.
Yeah. That's what says how much I was paying attention to that movie.
Yeah.
Allegedly, it comes out a couple of days from now.
But a couple of days from now.
So by the time the podcast is out, today.
Mm-hmm. AKA today. So, and we always stress this, people. Just because we're not interested in something doesn't mean that you can't be. So, hey, if you're excited for this, go ahead and knock yourself out. And I hope you enjoy it. I really, really do. But, no.
Knock yourself out before I do. I
thought that they took the, I thought they would have gotten the hint with the crystal skull. It's like, okay, you know what? Just let it go. Let it go. As far as I'm concerned, there are three Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
What was
it? I mean, I'm sure it was easy to pitch.
So it's a guy approaching late in geezerhood. I appreciate retrospective and reliving old glory and all that crap, but I'm kind of tired of that. I really don't want more wistful regaining the power of my youth crap. And I love Harrison Ford as an actor. Mm-hmm. But you know what? No. Not as Indy.
Not as Indy. And honestly, I mean, you know, he's kind of not extended, but he's shifted to different roles throughout his career. Like he's more serious roles and stuff, and so much to the point that you basically had to pull his teeth in order for him to reprise the role of Han Solo, with Eric even like the mentioned the fact it's like, oh well, the only reason he came back is with the guarantee that, well, he'd be killed off. So that's that might be a telltale sign of how much these particular roles meet them, even though from what I understand he's always preferred the Indiana role more than the Han Solo role, and this was a bittersweet departure for him because this was the last one. But
well, his theory on the Star Wars most makes sense, is he says you shouldn't have three main characters that somehow miraculously survive everything they do. He said, you know, his opinion was one of them should be killed off in Empire before you hit him, because he had going, you had Mark Hamill rising to the star, you had Harry Fisher rising to the star, so he said, he in interviews have said, you know, I honestly thought they should have killed off my character because I was doing Indiana Jones, was happy with that, their stars are rising, and really it doesn't make sense to have, you know, these three people somehow practically survive in all this.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, right, because was it Hugh Jackman, who was a decent actor when he wasn't playing Wolverine? And he was fine as Wolverine, but he had legitimate acting chops, and so does Harrison Ford. He can do romantic comedy roles, he can do straight dramatic roles, he doesn't have to do this action-adventure stuff.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, right?
There's anything wrong with it, of course.
Expand.
Yeah. Yep. So, again, hopefully this is a good send-off, but I'm not gonna stick around to find out.
Well, and as we have Mission Impossible 22, 23,
man,
with geriatric Tom Cruise in it. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm old enough. I remember when he came out as the teenage phenom, and now he can barely fit into his pants. I mean, come on. Let it go.
Well, sadly, that might be the opposite for me. I'm actually looking for
See, I watched the first two Mission Impossibles and didn't care about anything after that because I burned out on Tom Cruise fairly aggressively. Just
individually. Well, I'm going to say I'm waiting for the because it's a two-part movie. So yeah. It's one of those. I was just kind of like, I don't want to wait to see the second part. So I'm probably just not even going to see this one until the second part comes out. Then I'll watch it.
So you can just go through them one.
I'm still bitter.
No, I was going to bring that. I was going to wait. Yeah, I was going
to
wait.
Wait, I know what we're going to get to. Yeah. We're getting there.
Bitter.
Yeah. Whatever could you be talking about? Give us a minute, folks. We're going to get to that. Trust me.
Keep listening to find out.
But but before we get to that point, we have another premiere coming out in streaming. The Witcher Season 3 is going to be coming out on Netflix, or it is out on Netflix by the time you guys get this episode. So Monster Slayer Geralt of Rivia, aka Henry Cavill, has spent years in The Witcher claiming neutrality. As he says in the Season 3 trailer, neutrality, it won't get a statue, but it'll certainly help in keeping you alive. But things are different for our hero now that he's a family man and trusted with the care of Princess Ciri, etc. Ciri. Someone so powerful who contains so much chaos, the most difficult force to control, that she's being pursued by multiple factions on the continent. Scavell told Tudum ahead of the new season, now there's a real threat. It's genuine. It's no longer theoretical. It's practical. It's very, very dangerous. They are walking into the lion's den everywhere they go. And there's more details about what to expect in this season premiere or the entire season when it comes out. And so be sure to check that out in the show notes. But whatever the case, folks, if you want to stay up to date with sci-fi and fantasy book recommendations and updates from nerd culture, be sure to check out the storiesfornerds.com website along with our social media outlets, Twitter page, and our Facebook group. So to that end, folks, we have finally arrived to our nerdy chat episode and our nerdy chat discussion. So, starting with you, Abby, I saw that I saw on a tweet that you had finished watching a series. I can't think of what series it was, but you know, I'm gonna let you tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, so it's not actually sci-fi, but it's The Marvelous Miss Maisel, which is a Amazon Studios series, which they actually put money, time, and effort into it, unlike The Wheel of Time. they did a much better job with it. I saw the season finale, the end of the series, I mean. And I thought it was great because they kind of really tapped into, you know, the struggle of wanting to be famous more than anything, which I feel as a writer, and I think most writers feel that. You know, most of us have at least, if it's not a lifelong thing, you've gone through at least a phase where you're like, I really, really would do anything at all to be a best-selling author. You know, and so the Marvelous Miss Maisel, she wants to be famous. You know, she wants her name in lights. And so, you know, the last episode kind of is her big breakout, but it kind of shows like how her parents kind of are a little oblivious to the whole thing, the whole struggle she's gone through. And, you know, it's like just all the different hurdles she's had to face. And honestly, like the people she has to step over to get there. You know, it's a very honest and kind of good critical take on that whole, the whole struggle of being an artist, basically. Hmm. Yeah. So, okay. I hope they handled it well. Yeah. Yeah. And, other than that, you know, I've been watching Silo and I'm beginning to watch the last season of Outlander.
Yeah, because that just came out then.
Yeah, that is now coming out week by week.
Oh, so they're doing the week thing with that.
They are, yeah. Okay.
Well, how's what are your thoughts on it so far?
on Outlander, they're just, they've gotten better with every season. They are quite good. If I ever have an adaptation of my series, I would love to have a team like that going for it.
Good for them.
Yeah. They're very good.
Yeah, and then what season is this? This is the...
I think it's the seventh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And that speaks volumes then. I mean, usually after season five, a lot of shows start to go... You start to get the vibes like, okay, I think you're overstayed. You're welcome. Let's wrap it up. But the fact that it's gotten better, according to you, that speaks volumes. And I think that's a testament to the fact that it's like, you know what? They knew in advance I'm almost certain that they knew in advance, like, where this story was going to go. So it's not like they're having, like, picked through the weeds or anything. Like, oh, well, we're doing so good. Let's climb around and figure out what we're going to do next season. No, they clearly have a map.
Yeah. I'm very impressed. Like, because honestly, the books start to kind of meander, you know, so they no longer have the books to go by in the later seasons. Mm. The first three seasons were very closely following the books. And I think that would have been a little more easy to do because the books were more tightly plotted back then.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, the books, in my opinion, went so off the rails that I just stopped reading them.
And now the television series, they're doing their own thing.
They are. They're keeping it tightly plotted. They're like really, they're going for the full story. So like, you know, it's building up towards, Jamie and Claire, there's a newspaper clipping from the future that says they're going to die in a fire. We don't know, you know, but it's like a framework, a prophecy framework of a story. So like, we don't know if they're going to fake their death or what's going to happen, but it's building up towards that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Oh man, that sounds really, really promising. Well, I'm glad that you're joining. Glad that they're going the way that they're going with it so far. So yeah, kudos to them for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
People should take notes.
Yeah, and the amount of work in the setting, you know, like the production value is just great. You know, like they spent so much research. It's the American Revolutionary period of history, and man, they just went all out with costumes and music and like just the setting. Like it's very authentic looking. So you know, better than most movies that you would see from the same time period and so forth. Anyway, it's just I like what they're doing.
Yeah. Excellent. Good to hear.
Yeah.
Love it when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Seems like there's been an awful lot of disappointments recently.
And that's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Well, if you want me to rant about disappointments, I can talk about Silo.
No. That's fine. That's fine.
It's not that bad.
Asking for the rant, but if it's there to be had, I mean, you know.
I'll wait for next episode to talk about that, but I mean, it's not terrible. It's not Wheel of Time level disaster.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
It says both so much and so little all at the same time.
Well, I was going to say, can anything ever match how terrible Wheel of Time is to Abby, you know, the show? I was going to say, yeah.
No, I have never in my life seen such a bad adaptation. That one is like full on.
Well, and you're a serious fan of the Wheel of Time.
Yeah, I was about to say, you have.
Because you've had so much.
Yeah. But I honestly think even someone who's never read the books would watch that show and be like, what did I just see? Like, what abysmal abomination of a fantasy show. Anyway, look, you know what? There are people who love it. I really don't understand that.
Remember that one time we voted for the best television series?
Well, you know, it could be like one of those ironic things where maybe they were like popcorn watch, like hate watching it or, you know, like...
It's like Sharknado?
Right, like Sharknado.
It was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, like Plan 9 from Out of Space, or like those like terrible 1950s movies that people will kind of like make fun of, you know. I think it kind of falls in that category. Like people
I think your Wheel of Time is your reaction to the Wheel of Time series was probably my reaction to the last Mortal Kombat movie. Because Yeah, because I had such high expectations of that, because there's a really, really good story. Like, once you go past, like, all the ridiculous excessive violence, they really, really start to have a really captivating story in the video game. And then when the original movie came out, that was like, everyone was used to kind of hold that up as like, you know what, look, this video game video games can be adapted to film if you actually just respect the storyline. And then that came out, I was like, oh no, this is shame. But then everyone liked it. And I'm like, oh man. So now there's gonna be another one, and I'm happy for you people who enjoyed it. Not really. That's the right thing to say.
It's a broad and diverse market. Welcome to your own fandom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Didn't we talk about this last time?
No, we did because
gatekeeping on fandoms.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we did. Yeah. We totally did. Yep. So I won't. I keep the gates open.
I can only tell you what I like and don't like. Mm-hmm. If you like and don't like something else, good on you, mate. We can still have a conversation.
We can still have a conversation. That's an important thing about it. A conversation. Not the whole yelling and like anger, like, how can you like this and how can you not like this? You're an idiot. It's like, look, goodness gracious, guys, chill. It's okay.
Right.
I mean, I know, because yeah, I know Eric liked the movie. I'm like, oh well. Good for you.
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. I liked it.
Well, and getting back to Abby and Wheel of Time, part of it is expectation.
The expectations, right? Yeah.
So you, as a deep fan of the game and the story,
mm-hmm.
wanted something that those people were never going to provide.
Right.
I don't know if it's expectations so much as the potential. Like, I see the potential.
Yeah.
And boy, did they miss.
Yes.
Yeah, to me that's Halo.
Oh yeah. I mean, he says Halo, he means like
the TV series. I had such high hopes for that.
Right. We all have one. We all have that one. Oh, not you, Scott. Or is it because you keep your expectations so minimum you can't be disappointed?
I have very low expectations of any video game adaptation, period. I just knew.
Fair.
Sorry.
Fair.
Now, having said that, you guys like The Witcher, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of season 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have not watched it yet. I have not played the game. I know nothing about it other than what you guys have told me. Mm-hmm. But I recall that you, if not extravagantly, you did like it a lot.
Yes. Very much. And Eric's read the books. Well, because it was a book series before it was a video game.
I never played the game, and I haven't read the books. I've only seen the show, and I'm liking it enough to watch season 3. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's the question, right? Because I like Henry Cavill as an actor. I dislike the levels of gratuitous violence that Netflix likes to imbue its series with. So that's what's kind of kept me on the fence of that one, is because it's based on a video game, and I don't trust video game adaptations. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, it's based on the novel.
It's actually closer to the novel.
It's close to the novel. That's why Cavell left after season 3, because they weren't going to guarantee that season 4 was going to be close to the novel.
And as far as the balance is concerned, Scott, I mean, I'm totally with you on that. And I will say, The Witcher, the way they treat violence, it's not violence for the sake of violence.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's not even close to Game of Thrones level. I mean,
Well, no.
That's what I'm saying. Is Netflix is famous for having gratuitous violence.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not like all eye candy where people are just splattered in blood and all it's quote-unquote glory. It's not like that. it is set like in a middle age like setting, so it is a violent time period, so I mean some of that stuff is going to be shown, but at the same time it's not done for like the popcorn, the eye candy. It's just the world that they live in.
Okay, well, I've decided I'm going to watch it, so
I mean, it's also during a period of great change. I'm trying to remember, there was some either movie quote or book quote where it says, you know, change is never clean. It's never fresh. It's always, you know, violent. It's always, you know, it's always going to cause some type of conflict.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They say that in every epic fantasy.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah, we all know how that goes. I mean, yeah. Scott, I'll just warn you, with the first episode of The Witcher, I found it very confusing. They do a lot of time skips without telling you that there's time skips.
So stick with it for a couple episodes, which I'll do the 3-episode rule regardless, even for long episodes. So. Mm-hmm.
I think I honestly skipped the first 3 episodes, and that's how I and then I went back and watched them.
It was, you survived.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that. I did that with The Expanse as well. I mean, I'm
trying to think. I mean, almost certain you really didn't miss.
No, it was too confusing. And the fun thing about The Witcher is the character interactions, like on a smaller scale. So like that's what I'm there for. And those first 3 episodes you don't really know the characters yet, and they're not really comfortable with each other yet, and it's not really meshing that well. Anyway, whatever. But
that's what. Well, that's the problem with series TV always, right? Is the characters don't find their groove and their interaction and their cohesion as a cast, you know, until somewhere between half a season and 3 seasons. So
yes, depending on the series. I liked season 2 better than season 1 with The Witcher, and I think
I would agree. Yes,
yeah. Well, season 2 is the official start of the book series, basically.
Oh, cool.
Season 1 is all set up for.
Well, season 1 is, so when he initially released The Witcher, it was short stories. It was a bunch of short stories. That's the first book. He took all these short stories he initially wrote around this character, collected them, and that's what the first season's about. It kind of it does a lot of character very background standalone. Building. But each story was very standalone. It was very, you know, they weren't meant to be. It was just like, here's a little adventure that Geralt's on. Here's what he's doing. Here's what he's hunting. It was kind of like, you know, Monster of the Week.
I was about to say, the first season was very episodic and very monster.
Precisely why you can skip it, right.
Yeah, and then the second season is where the actual book series starts, like the main storyline starts.
That being said, there is definitely some character development that does happen in the first season, especially with like the, going back to what Abby said, it's like a lot of the interactions that you have like on the small scale with certain individuals. It's definitely refined by the time you get to season 2. Because of what interactions were had in the previous season.
And they kind of also do a little bit of like political and world building in that first season as well.
Yeah. So, So going there with, you're Scott. So I'm sure you'll go there with mellow expectations and everything. But if you do that and just watch the show for what it is, I'm pretty certain.
Well, and I'm a little slow on the uptake sometimes, but when enough people that I trust like a thing, I at least have to go find out for myself. So.
All right, gang. Well, no pressure. That's 3 of us on here. That's
watch the Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No.
You don't need need to believe that you believe it. And I know better, so.
Well, Scott, believe in the Abbey that believes in the Game of Thrones.
Now, I might watch it as farce. I might watch it as spoof.
Well, if you could just skip all the way to season 8 and just like, you know, that truly is funny. Yeah, that's
spoof. Having never read even a single word of any of the novels, I would be completely.
You don't have to read a novel to be disappointed.
Yeah, if you enjoy like really, really bad, poorly written fantasy that's just awful and like a shame to watch, then go for season 8.
And here's the thing, right? Is I don't have a problem with a story that has limitations, but when you put me through 8 seasons and lead to that, no, not gonna happen. I'm glad I waited.
I wish I had waited. How about you, Scott? What have you been up to on the very fun stuff?
You know, not as much as you might have expected. I've been a lot of family things, a lot of life
and truth. Yeah, I was about to say it's summertime and there's a lot of stuff to do outdoors and stuff now.
Resolve my frustration with my insurance company on the roof. So that's good.
Yeah.
So I've been watching Bleach, the animated series, canon episodes only.
Okay. Oh man, I felt exhausted by what you said.
I'm like 8 episodes into the Arnkar saga, after skipping the entire Bound 1. So enjoying it, loving it. It's something that I can watch 2 or 3 episodes at a time of, but not 5 or 6. It's just the nature of the beast.
Okay.
Other than that, kind of the only other nerdy thing I did was the day after our last podcast, actually, I went and saw Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, here we go.
I saved this for last.
Yes.
I have heard tremendous good report about Across the Spider-Verse, and I agree. It is exceptional as a visual, artistic characterization, situation. Everything about it is lovely, except, and I think it's been long enough now that I can talk about this. Part 1 of 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Nope.
So 2.5 hours into this movie, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, they need to do something really, really quick.
Yeah.
And then they ran credits.
I was I had the same mentality too, because like when that happened, I was like, holy, wait a minute. We've been here for a while. They need to wrap this up. And then right when that mentality happened, the screen goes black. I'm like, no. Yep. Abby.
And I said, very loudly, so that everyone in the crowded theater can hear me, "You gotta be kidding me!"
So it's isn't it like a part one, and there's gonna be a part two?
Part 1 of 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
They literally stopped. They've established all of the setup, all of the characters, all of what is now going to be a full movie worth of big boss baddie conflict confrontation.
Which is totally fine, because
it's great.
But had we known that going in,
thank you. Now I know,
because it's almost like a freaking Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. We went in there with tempered expectations, knowing that hey, this is just the first half of a two-parter. So that gut punch doesn't hit quite as hard as it was with this, where we were. This came out of left field for so many of us, and so I mean, it was a great cliffhanger for what it's worth, because it got the proper response, but at the same time, it got the proper response.
Like, that's not kidding. It really is that good.
Yeah.
Just be aware, part 1 of 2, and you are at maximum. Oh, come on. Let's do something.
Oh, my God. Scott, you are dead on. Yeah. I think that's exactly what it is. I think that's exactly why it hit so hard, is because it was such an exceptionally well
set up so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when it just stops, it just like.
And having said that, right, the visual artistic presentation of this thing, as good as the first movie was, this is
better. It's better. Yeah.
So it's just gorgeous.
I just found out a fun fact. There are actually 2 versions of that movie out in theaters, because the creator released, like, people started posting and wait, this happened in this scene. What are you talking about? No, this happened in this scene. And the creator finally came out and said, I was wondering how long it would take people to figure out there are multiple versions of the movie out.
Okay. So here's a problem. And this is exactly my problem, is they're trying to maximize ticket sales on the first movie by setting those traps and by not telling anyone that it's part 1 of 2.
Yeah. I think
that's unfair to the audience. I really do. Yeah, now, if you're going to do the multi-version thing, go ahead. Let me know up front, and I'll go see it twice. Or I'll try to figure out which version is playing and make sure I get each one.
Yeah, but as they said, it's very minor tweaks. Like, it's one of those where someone actually went through and listed the ones they at least knew or had cataloged, and it's very minor things. It's nothing major story-wise. It's
all the same events, just slightly
Different dialogue. Like, slightly different dialogue in some spots. I think one of the examples was when Gwen mentions that she was hanging out with Nigel. Miles goes above his head. He goes, "Who's Nigel?" You know, and then in the other version, he doesn't say anything. He just goes, "Oh, okay." And then you don't hear the "Who's Nigel?" That's the, you know, that's the alternate version. It's like I said, it's minor things that they changed.
Mm. Now, in a weird side thing, I happen to have been watching the middle Spider-Man series, movie series, the one in 2014. The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, The Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, The Amazing Spider-Man, yeah.
And I'm about 30 minutes into the second movie, and wow, is that guy frenetic.
Andrew Garfield.
I'm sure it's very good, but wow, is he hyperkinetic.
Yeah.
It was funny with Deadpool. This is just frenetic. And I'm not enjoying it. So we'll see. I'll finish it because, you know, it's one of those things I should watch and really be a well-educated nerd. So, but no, Abby, I'm not going to watch Game of Thrones. Sorry. And I'm not going to watch Wheel of Time either.
I can second that one part. I wish I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but hey, you're one of us got saved.
And no, I have no intention of watching the sequel of Avatar.
Did that come out on Disney Plus? See,
I think so. Maybe
that is the only way I'll watch it. Is yeah. I'll have it running on the background while I'm doing something else.
Yeah. I've already read about the plot, and I think Sarah did too. We're both just like, I'm really glad we didn't see it in theaters because this just seems.
My oldest kid saw it and said, you know what? It is what it is. If you have no expectations, it's a visual treat, but don't look at the story very carefully.
Right.
It doesn't hold up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So anyway, yeah, that was my nerdy thing was being so traumatized by part one that I gained a healthy distrust for anything that already ended. Speaking of the last season of Bleach coming out recently.
Yeah. Different problem. Very cool. How about Tui?
So I'll start off with Scott Ended. I saw Across the Spider-Verse as well. I enjoyed it. Same thing. I did not know it was a part one of two, so it was very fun, but as you said, endings can kind of affect a story. And how that ended, it made me, I was like, yeah, this was a fun movie, but it's still extremely frustrating that it was not known that this was part one of two. But I will say, if you're at least looking as an example of a good movie to set up a second one, and you've only seen, you know, like the Batman vs. Superman, which was supposed to be Justice League, which I still think is one of the worst ones that's done, because the movie had no point other than set up Justice League. This one, it's basically the exact same thing. The entire point of the movie is at the third movie, but you still had gripping conflict happening. You felt like you at least had some type of resolutions happening in there. And also, you at least had the characters being true to the characters. You know, so.
And I love the fact that you've got, what, three major antagonists, only one of which is a baddie, quote unquote?
Yeah. And you can see his point of view. It's like, I understand your point of view. You're considered the bad guy, right? Like, you have a bad guy who's funny. You know, he's more of a joke who's kind of becoming more serious. But the kind of antagonist they pushed against Miles, is you can, like, okay, I get what you're doing. I get you're kind of being put as the bad guy. I understand your point of view. And it kind of makes it so I can't really say you're a full bad guy, but it's hard to say if I'm rooting for you or not.
You don't win, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, well, he's your traditional antagonist, and pretty much an antagonist is the opponent of the protagonist.
Yeah.
And so, since Miles is the said protagonist, we are more emotionally invested in his interest and ensuring that he achieves his goals. And anyone who objects to those goals, you have a tug of war, of sorts.
The pace was just ever so slightly languid because it was a two.
Yeah,
it was a lengthy movie, dude. Yeah,
it was close to 2.5 hours, I think.
I think
so.
Yeah.
But But yeah, like I said, I thought it was a good movie. I mean, but they just left a bitter taste at the end, unfortunately.
Very much so.
So, I mean.
And unfortunately, I have no idea when part two is coming out.
It comes out next year.
Next year. Next year.
I mainly checked. I was like, wait a minute.
Please don't do this to me.
Yeah. I can't wait too long for this.
I say, but just beware, you have people already trying to fake that there are Sony announcements saying it's being pushed back by 2 years. Just be warned if you've seen any of those. There's a lot, like, there's a big fake.
If Sony does that, they will lose huge numbers of potential future customers.
Yes, because currently there's like a realistic looking announcement saying that due to conflicts in the studio, it's being pushed back to 2026. And I was like, everyone keeps going, this seems like a joke. This doesn't seem realistic.
No, they wouldn't have done part one if they didn't have part two already.
Yes, in script, if not in production. Yeah.
Exactly. I was about to say, I would be surprised if the lines haven't already been done. I think it's more or less. They're probably in nearly borderline like post-production at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta imagine it's either done or close to done. I mean, it might be Lord of the Rings type thing. They already filmed
all three.
That's
what I was thinking.
They filmed all three. Everything's done. They just are doing a year gap between them. So I would not be surprised yet if it's already done. They just were doing a year gap. Let's see. I also watched started up the second season of Erifruta from Commonplace to World's Strongest, which again, long title. I have to keep that up. But it's basically about these kids kind of get the school students get sucked into another world, and they all get skills, and one of them basically gets a. His skill is basically to create stuff. That's all. So he thinks it's kind of useless. He's like, well, I can't, you know, I want to be combat. I want to be up front with my friends. You know, the girl he has a crush on is a healer. And so he's like, I want to be, you know, right there with her, you know, helping her. So he kind of convinces the group to let him come with them on like one of his first adventures. And one of the school group's guys who has a crush on the same girl betrays him and basically knocks him off a bridge, which drops him down to one of the deepest levels of the dungeon. And he has to survive by eating monster meat. And that kind of transforms him. And he ends up, like, and because he has a crafting ability, he's able to start crafting, like, guns and, like, explosives and all this advanced weaponry stuff. So it's actually pretty, that's why he becomes, like, World's Strongest.
Okay, and see, and that's what I was about to say. When you say he can make stuff, Is it like anything, he can beat everything up, right?
Yeah. So like he has, so basically he learns.
Why is he upset about that? That's legit.
Well, no, because he didn't know he could do that until after he like started eating the monster meat and got stronger.
He should have read X-Men, otherwise he wouldn't have known that Forge is like one of the most amazing ones.
Well, because he was limited with the materials he had. So like he was like, oh, I can make his swords and armor. I can't really do anything beyond that. Now he's like, he found a place where he can make guns. He's made like a vehicle that has ACs, you can drive around in it, and so
that sounds cool.
Yeah, so it's interesting in that sense, the where he's now become like one of the weakest to one of the strongest, but he refuses to help his students because they betrayed him. One of them tried to kill him.
Oh, okay, that's right.
So he's
My question is it still ongoing?
I have not finished season two, so I do not know off the top of my head if it is or isn't. I'd have to look that up.
Okay, then I'm not gonna watch it. I'm not gonna watch it yet.
Yes, but like I said, I'm enjoying it. It's fun. Let's see here. Some of the things I've watched: Strange New Worlds. I started watching, which you know that came out in the second season, and I will say it so far has been really good. Really, like the most recent episode, my wife looked at each other and goes, "That's Star Trek. That is basically Star Trek in a nutshell."
Love it.
So it's one of those, you know, it's been very enjoyable. Then I've been playing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which as much as I love Jedi Survivor, this one I can see why all the hype for Game of the Year for it is, because it's basically took Breath of the Wild and said, what else can we do to make this better? Like, you can literally make an airplane and fly an airplane in this. You can make a car and drive a car in it. So it's you know, Zelda, the Tears of the Kingdom is a lot of fun. As Dave put it, you know, he plays it. He said the only downfall is there's so much to do, you kind of get almost overwhelmed on what to do. Cause it's kind of like, well, like, what do I want to do? I got to do this, I got to do that. Well, so, you know, Dave's taking a break and I'm taking a break from it because, you know, one of my absolute favorite series, Final Fantasy, released Final Fantasy 16, which, I know Patrick and I talk about it, Raph, and I'm going to tell the viewers now, I tried to undersell things to Raph because otherwise, otherwise he gets, you know, it gets overhyped for him. But I will say this is one of the few games I have actually sat there and gone, oh my Lord, no, you people need Jesus. Like, I have said that a couple times, and Patrick was cracking up, and he goes, yeah, I've seen some of those scenes as well. Cause the premise basically is it's Final Fantasy meets Game of Thrones, in essence, where there's a lot of, it's really a story.
Just the good parts of Game of Thrones.
The good parts of Game of Thrones, yes.
Yeah. I was about to say, you got.
Yeah, the good parts. Cause there's like, there's like a lot of, like, there's a lot of betrayal. There's a lot of like political background stuff going on. And I really love, and again, because it's made from one of the head guys from 14, there's a lot of, you can feel some of that soul of 14 in there. And it's very, very interesting because it's kind of a twist on it where normally, you know, if you're like, especially Final Fantasy where magic users are respected, they're, you know, usually considered, you know, hey, these are great people to have in our party, you know.
Right.
And in this world, if you're a magic user, you're in essence a slave. You're considered like salt of the earth. Like you are touched by, you, like, you are basically lower than, you're basically not considered human in essence. You're considered like a weapon, just a weapon to be used and discarded when you're done. So it's pretty interesting how they go through with that. And then of course 14, still play that, you know, it's, you know, a little back burner because of 16, but I'm still enjoying playing that. Other than that, I haven't really done much else because I've been working a lot on the D&D campaign that I've been doing with, you know, I've been doing that.
How far would you say you've gotten into 16 so far?
I know I've definitely finished the first third. You know, I don't know if it's breaking into third, like if it's broken into thirds, like, you know, 15 was, but I know I've at least gotten through like a good third of the storyline. I don't know how much is left considering I'm still not clear on who the, you know, main villain is and all that. Like there's hints at that stuff going on around in the background that my character is running into. But that, you know, I haven't really been introduced like to the main villain yet. So I would say I'm probably close to, I'm not really good at guessing these things. I know the max level is 50, and then if you do New Game Plus, it's 100. But I'm currently at level 30. It's hard to say exactly where I'm at. I would guess somewhere between, you know, the second third of the game of three, or I'm probably close to the halfway point is my guess.
Very cool. Well, from the sounds of it, you're playing two very well established Game of the Year contenders in both Legend of Zelda and Final Fantasy 16. I've heard nothing but great things on both avenues.
Yes, and I will say that I know that it's currently being review bombed 16 because again it's exclusive on PlayStation. So you have people review bombing it, so don't trust all the reviews. Like I know it was sitting at like an 88, dropped down like to an 86, and then went back up to an 88. So, but yeah, because a lot of people are review bombing it intentionally because they're not happy. It's a PS5 exclusive for right now. But I've heard some people say they don't like the story. I was like, why? I can understand it's a political driven story. The characters, at least it has very good character development. I'm really enjoying the story so far. So,
well, I mean, if you don't like the game because you don't care for the story, that's one thing.
You're
gonna review about it just because it's not on the platform that you don't want to be.
That's part of the reason I like things like this conversation here is I want to hear people who have actually played its opinion. Mm-hmm. And the qualification for that opinion.
Yes. Well, I also say the combat is absolutely amazing. The combat is so amazing what they've done with this. Especially, you can feel the Devil May Cry roots in the combat that they set up. I'm having, like, I know Patrick and I, that's one thing he and I rave so much about is the boss battles. Like, you almost have mini movie boss battles because you generally have your normal, a little difference. I know some people are mad because you're only playing as one character. And you're basically going and hacking and slashing with dodging involved. And then you have some QTE events that happen to kind of push the story along and, like, you know, quick dodges, quick attacks. I was like, no, this is awesome. I love this. So the QTE just, it makes it like, oh crap, I gotta hit this button. Oh, look at that dodge. Oh, that was so sweet. You know, so it's.
There's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, so I'm enjoying it a lot. I think the combat is very fast paced. And it actually makes you want to actually get in battles. Like, you know, sometimes you're like, you know, oh, the grind. This is like,
right.
No, bring out the combat, man. I want some more challenging bosses. Come on, bring in the harder villains. I want to push myself in this thing. So, I mean, it's been pretty fun.
Okay. Well, when I get the PS5 eventually, I'll be able to backtrack and pick up some stuff in the catalog. That's definitely the first one. Must be nice. I'm not
so. Well, as we said, everyone will know when Raph gets a PS5, the PS5 Pro will drop. If you see the PS5 yeah. Pro drop, you can say, "Oh, Raph got a PS5."
Yeah. For this disclaimer, I've had very good conversations with a bunch of friends, like off the show every month. I was like, "Well, I want to buy my time because like there's all this talk about like a different PlayStation SKU coming out." And then, like, when I hear about it, it's like, oh, nope, it's just rumor. It's just rumor. It's just rumor. And that one time, when it's like, oh, man, you know what? No, it's just a rumor. It's not going to come out. 1 or 2 months later, Sony has officially announced the PlayStation 5 Slim or the PlayStation 5 Pro, and it's coming out in tomorrow or something. It's like...
So if you see Sony announce that, you can say, bought his PlayStation. Yeah,
yes, you know that I've gotten my PlayStation. It's almost like, you know, every time you hear a bell ring and an angel gets his ring, his wings, every time you hear a new, like, SKU of a console comes out, that means Raphael
got the older version and the newer
version. Yeah, because now he's stuck with the old version.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, I haven't gotten to Star Trek yet. Well, Strange New Worlds yet, because I really wanted to make sure I got through the Lower Decks, which I did. I
finished, that is such a good show.
I finished season 3 of the Lower Decks, and it doesn't deserve to be as good as it is. Look at it. It's like, oh, man, this is just a stupid, over-the-top, like, adult humor cartoon show. But then... there's like a lot of those instances where it's like, oh, hey, don't forget, this is still Star Trek. And at the end of the day, it's still a Star Trek show. It has cruder humor than what you might typically see in traditional Star Trek. But at the end of the day, they know what they're about. Like they know the references. They're in that universe. And so when they go out for an exploration or when they're like facing a conflict, it really, really shines through very well. So,
Fun fact about that, because, you know, the girl who does, Tawny Newsom, you know, she does, Mariner's voice. She was on the Star Trek cruise and she got asked about that. She goes, oh no, I'm a huge Star Trek nerd. They call me up sometimes to say, hey, we're thinking about having this villain pop up. Would that make sense? And she's like, well, it makes sense in this situation. So she's like a huge Star Trek nerd and helps them on some of their Star Trek lore.
Oh, that's what's up. Very cool. Very nice. And of course, we all saw like Across the Spider-Verse, so I'm not going to beat that horse to death. What was said about Across the Spider-Verse?
Smash that spider.
But honestly, I really haven't done too much stuff on the nerd front thing. Of course, Phantasy Star Online, that's still my guilty pleasure, and they added some additional content to it. Oh, yeah, Eric, by the way, I'm in trouble. They did something absolutely horrible. They included base building.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem.
Is this going to be like a Starfield thing where you're going to like get into it and I'm not going to hear from you for months on end and then I'm going to be like, what
happened? I'm going to put in vacation time for Starfield, okay? I kid you not.
Well, Raph, here's my question. Is all your vacation time going to be used up on just making the character?
No.
Raph.
No.
Raph.
No. I know how to stop.
knowing how to stop and choosing to do stop. Different things.
Yes. For those who, for those who don't know, Rav is notorious for spending hours upon hours of making sure his character looks absolutely perfect.
You gotta look on point, dude. I mean, if they give you the options to be flying with them, I mean, why not utilize it?
I can't remember what game it was. I still remember one game, like, I had spent at least an hour designing my character, had played, and, like, you had started a game before I did. I finished, like, around dinner time and started you, and I come to go, man, how far are you? Oh, I just got done designing my character. I was like, wait, you spent the entire day designing your character? And you're like, yeah. I might have to make some tweaks, though. I was like, oh my god. Just play the game, Rick. Just play the game.
I am playing the game! I'm just not playing it the way that you
play. No, I know.
It's in the game. It's intentional. Yes. He's the audience for it. Yeah. You're not.
I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I consider it fun. I am playing the game as far as I'm concerned.
That's why they're still. I still have the running joke with Brett Starfield. I still think it. Even my wife goes, oh, we're not going to hear from Raph like for a month, and he's only going to be just creating his character.
It's not going to be that egregious. To that, I will say, it's like, okay, I mean, the more in-depth a character customization is, I mean, the more I'm definitely going to tweak things and stuff and refine stuff. So I can't promise that I'll get through it on day one or two.
Or three with ship customization.
Yeah, there's the ship customization is definitely going to be a happy problem. Granted, they did. Well, no. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. I'm not going
to. As long as you're getting your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I feel for them. But that does remind me, I did also get Street Fighter VI.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and I have been enjoying that very much.
I heard nothing but good things about it. Like,
yeah, it's fantastic, dude. I haven't been this excited for a fighting game at all. Time and the hype is real. It's really, really modernized fighting. So the gateway, the entry level is a lot more accessible to people who might be intimidated, because the thing is, nowadays, like, fighting games have become very, very niche. So if you get online and play against people, that's probably the only game that they are playing in general. So you go in there, fight, quote unquote, fight those people, and you're more or less like a test dummy as they try out their juggle and special combos and stuff, and that's really not that entertaining. But there's such a mass amount of people, or casuals even, who've come in to it, so you really don't have to worry about that. They've really refined, like, the ranking levels, so they make sure that you play with people on a similar playing field. And they've even included different control schemes. There's a classic control scheme, which is the quarter circle forward, those sort of mechanics, like when you want to do your special moves and combos. But they also added dynamic and modern controls, where you can press certain buttons, and just based on the position of your character, they will perform certain moves on that by just pressing a single button, and you don't have to do a quarter circle or anything like that. Me, I grew up playing these type of games, so I prefer classics, so I stick with that. But, and of course, you know, going back to the whole gatekeepers and stuff like that, there might be a couple of those purists, if you want to call them out there, like, oh, if you're using modern or dynamic controls, you're not a real, like, gamer or whatever. But you know what? If you're having fun, that's all that matters. And if that works for you, good for you. And the thing is, they also, there's pros and cons to each one. And I think that's what that's the great thing about it. Because, of course, the classic version is going to be more difficult to get those moves out. But because there's more there's more directional input to put in there. There's the options for customization is a lot larger than it is with like the monitor or dynamic control. So you can really customize your combos. And then they also, they really did an interesting thing with the single player. They actually have two single player modes. They have the traditional arcade mode where you choose your fighter and you go through and you play like a brief sequence of like, fights to unravel their story. But, they now have this feature called World Tour, where you make your own character and you follow their story, and they actually go around the world. And for the first time, the game actually lives up to its name. It's called Street Fighter, right? Well, you're actually going out and fighting in the streets. And yeah, so it's really cool. You meet a lot of the established characters throughout the series, like in there, and you can become their students. And you can learn their fighting style, learn their special moves, and then you can actually customize your character based on like the special moves that you've learned and stuff. And yes, going back to that, I didn't play the fighting portion of the game when it first came out because I was busy customizing my character. Fight me, I don't care. It was worth it.
I didn't say anything.
You chuckled. You smirked. I saw it on your face.
I'm always smirking.
Oh, God. Anyway. So I'm going to wrap it up on that. But yeah, but that covers everything on my end. And so I think that's going to cover our nerdy chat. So that being said, there is a lot of exciting content out there for summer. So we got a lot of great television shows, a lot of movies, a lot of video games that have out there. So there's something out there to keep you occupied for certain. But whatever the case, stay in tune in a couple of weeks from now where we will start our next Story by Nerds segment. But whatever the case, if you like these Nerdy Chat episodes or our Story by Nerds segments, be sure to give us a like, heart, thumbs up, stars, whatever puzzle outlet to the source of this podcast, whether that's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, et cetera, you get the idea. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Story by Nerds podcast. Hey, I'm Raphael, I'm joining y'all, keep thinking big on the right level. This is Scott, Abby, and Eric signing off. So, Mr. Parker, what is going to be the final send off, Jonathan?
When's the sequel coming out?
March, I think.
March 24th, I believe. 24, 26th.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's. I'll see. Oh, the.